Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm building an ark.
What? That much rain?
I'm building an ark.
Wow.
Yes, I'm building an ark. I don't know when it'll be ready, but I'm well on my way with it.
So you're drowning is what you're saying.
I'm drowning over here. I mean, this week it has rained and rained.
Oh.
I've mowed my lawn one time in a month.
Really? You were able to get
And then they were
in?
Getting stuck. I mean, it's that deep. The water is deep.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you can walk out on the grass and you can hear your shoes squeaking in the water.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's wet in Texas over here.
Wow. So they were, like, driving over mud, I'm sure, weren't they?
Yes, and the llamas have not even been sheared. It's been so rainy.
Oh, no.
Because they can't do it, you know, when it's raining with those shears. And so, usually we do it in April.
Oh.
May. No, can't do it in May. So it's going to be June before the llamas are sheared. They've never been sheared that late in the year.
Oh, my goodness. This is late. Wow. I didn't realize.
It is late.
Oh.
Yeah, we usually do it in April. And here it is, middle of May. We can't do it now because it's raining so much. And when it rains, it's been like an inch, 2 inches. As you know, everything is flooding all over Texas. We've got so many low-lying areas.
Mm.
So, you know, I figured the ark was the next thing.
Wow. I'm surprised anybody was able to get out and actually mow the grass. That kind of
Well, it wasn't
me.
A good job, like the guy told me. He said, it's not even. And I went and looked, and I said, well, you're right about that. It's just kind of chopped out there. You know, he did the best he could, but he says just sopping wet.
Oh, boy. Wow. And, is any relief in sight, or is this just going to go on forever?
I don't know how long it's going on. I'm kind of worried about it. The ponds are full, you know.
Oh, boy.
They can only go so far, then they, you know, we'll run down the road. And we've had that happen a few times.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
When it gets to a certain point, there's the pond just overflows.
Yeah.
There's not a dam on that side to, you know, to keep it up. It just gets full, and finally it has to go somewhere. And we have had flood warnings out all this week.
I cannot.
We've had so much rain that we've had flood warnings out.
Jeez.
Almost day and night.
Why? It's just nonstop.
And there's some mornings you see ducks on the pond. Ducks are loving it, but I don't think anybody else is.
No. Wow. Unless you have fins attached to your feet, that might work out well.
That's right, but I still think the ark will take care of it.
Yeah, that'll.
If I get an ark. And we get enough water, I can just glide on down the street, my ark.
Oh, wow. I don't remember a spring ever this wet for this long.
They said it's the second wettest spring we've ever had.
Really? Oh, wow. Yeah, it's
second wettest in Texas.
I remember last year you were talking about the drought, and I know it was like in the heat of the summer. But you know, what I really remember is, you know, all the drought and how dry it was, and the fires and all that. And now we're talking about, you know, I mean, gosh, next weekend is Memorial Day weekend. I cannot believe that we're practically, you know, it's the end of the school year, it's the beginning of summer, and you're this wet. It's just, I don't remember this ever happening. It's weird.
That's right. And I've seen a lot of people's roofs where they're having to have them replaced. There's been so much hail.
Oh, geez.
It's been a big year for hail. I've seen everything in the world, you know, hailed on. And so the roofers have been really busy because we have had so much hail.
Wow.
And bad, but I don't remember this many tornadoes in the spring. You know, we always have tornadoes, but not this many.
Yeah. It seems.
And, there's been a really heavy, heavy amount of tornadoes.
Mm.
And Oklahoma's almost blown away. You know, they've got three cities that were Barnesville, or Barnesdale, you know, was blown away the other day also, in addition to Sulphur and Marietta.
Jeez.
So, and the other day, that one came right up 35 past us and went right to Oklahoma.
Mm.
So instead of Tornado Alley coming this way, it went up this way and created those.
Yeah, that's a totally different weather pattern.
It was totally different than anything I'd seen.
Wow. Boy, that's just, it's so weird. There's just weird things that are happening lately. It just makes you kind of scratch your head and think, oh my gosh, is this like the end of the world? It's so strange.
We're going to think it is if we don't get some relief.
I know it.
But every time it rains, it's not just a little quarter of an inch or anything lately. It's been like an inch to 2 inches at a time. And that's why we have flood warnings out. Seems like we've had flood warnings out for 2-3 weeks now, every day.
Jeez. All right, that's just...
And you start to go down a road and it'll say, this road's closed.
Oh, no. You get the little signs out there that you can't pass through. Stop, turn around,
don't. You can't pass through. You've got to turn around and go back.
Oh.
Because there's just so many low roads that we don't ever think about them being low till it rains this much that they have to just close them.
Yeah, and I would imagine probably you're seeing signs on roads that you hadn't even thought of being low in so long. It's just all of a sudden, oh, yeah, this is a low road, and I forgot because it's been years. Probably.
That's right. Yeah, it's been years since it's rained enough that that the water was coming over the road.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's kind of scary, really. You know, you start.
Well, it is because you don't want to get too close to those.
Yeah, you think about all the damage that water can do, and then you realize, oh, water can be it's nice. We need it, but boy, it can be awful dangerous and cause some serious situations. So, not only is it just a lot of water and inconvenient, but the danger factor as well. Golly.
And schools are out. You know, this week.
Yeah.
A lot of the schools are out. Everybody's kids are going to be home. Everybody's got to think of something for them to do for the summer. in the Metroplex here, they've got everything. They've got every kind of kids camp in the world. They've got some basketball camps, and they've got former NBA players that are running them.
Really?
I mean, it's gotten big, hasn't it?
Wow.
One is called the Tar Heels. I mean, and they've got people that were NBA stars that are teaching. I mean, I've looked, and there must be at least 10 basketball camps.
Mm.
They've got soccer camps. They've got Lego camps. They've got everything. And the Nerf gun place, they're having a camp.
Really?
I'm sure that's going to have every mother wanting them to go there.
Wow.
And there's an art camp. I mean, when it comes to your children, these people are money makers. They have thought of every way in the world to make money for the summer.
Wow.
You know, they're on it.
I've never even heard of a Lego camp before.
Yeah, and so people don't have to just have their kids home all summer. They can send them to all the different camps. And, of course, the best ones are going to be the basketball and the soccer camps.
Yeah. Yeah, those are always fun.
And if your kid is really trying to go somewhere in basketball, these NBA stars are doing one-on-one teaching. They've got group sessions. They've got good scrimmage. They've got one-on-one. Just hoops if you're trying to become better at it. They've just got so many camps. It's a wonderful thing that they've developed all this for kids.
Yeah. And
there's no telling what families spend on their kids.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I mean, I remember last year we were talking about how much, camps have have gone up, through the roof. It used to be a couple of $100, for a couple of weeks, and that was kind of it. But, boy, now it's an investment.
Wow. Now it's an investment, $6,000 to $7,000 for your kid to go to camp.
Jeez.
I mean, everybody's going to have to work a little overtime. It's so expensive.
Yeah, wow. But then again, you start thinking, well, geez, your chances to actually get mentored, even though it's on a very surface level, but to get mentored by an actual pro athlete, I mean, that's pretty cool. We didn't have that when we were kids. I don't remember anyway.
Everybody just played at home when we were kids. We didn't have all these opportunities, I can tell you that. They would have been shocked if they'd said, oh, yeah, we've got a basketball camp. It's $350.
Yeah.
The parents would have just, you know, have been rolling their eyes. And now no one thinks about spending hundreds and thousands for their kids. And the baseball camps. Oh, my gosh, baseball is an expensive deal.
Yeah.
And one of my grandchildren is talking about going to a volleyball deal to join up. It's $5,000 to $7,000.
Good Lord. Seriously?
If you get in a good volleyball team, yes.
What? For
they,
volleyball?
They have these big charges. Yeah, volleyball is as big as some of the other sports.
Well, I had no idea. Wow.
It well, is... you know, you don't have young girls. If you had young girls, you'd be learning fast.
Boy, I'm shocked. I had no idea. Oh, wow.
Oh, yes. And they have to try out, like on the volleyball. She's tried out for 4 or 5 teams.
Really?
And she's 14 years old.
For summer camp, you have to try out?
Oh, for the volleyball, because it's more than just summer. It'll be for the coming year.
I see.
Yeah, because you're going to join one of those teams for the coming year. And they charge a lot for you to come in.
Mm. Right.
If they're very good, it's pretty high. And they have to pick you. You don't play.
Wow. Oh, my.
So, things for kids is expensive, and people will pay.
Yeah, and all these camps, they're booked. They're booked for weeks or months in advance.
Oh, yeah. And then they don't have enough facilities for all these basketball and soccer during the year. And everybody tells me, Faye, you need to build a facility because this is where the money is. The money is in providing something for kids. And all these buildings they have now are full. I mean, sometimes you can't even get in for your team to practice at some of the basketball places and the soccer places. They play soccer indoors.
Really? And these are
all
full?
Yeah, I mean, this way they can play at any time, it doesn't matter what the weather's like, you've got indoor facilities. See, they're smart. They thought all this up.
Yeah. We always, they just stuck us out in the field when we were kids. And here's a,
that's right.
Here's a ball. Good luck.
That's right. And you played at the park or, yeah, you know, some other place.
Yeah. And
they
loved
didn't
it.
Have special deals. Now they've got special shoes. Oh. You've got everything for each sport.
Yeah. I mean, just the equipment and the I guess the almost like the catering that goes along with it. It's just it's almost like the difference between camping and glamping.
That's right. This is all so much more than what it used to be. And it's big money. It's such big money. We don't want to miss out on this.
Yeah, we should. Again, another aspect, we got in the wrong business.
That's right. We all ought to be in the children's business because parents will pay gladly.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it costs. They're going to fork over the money.
Wow. I think somebody, whoever started this trend, you know, they probably charged an arm and a leg, and then they're like, well, we're not really sure if anybody will bite or not, but they do. And then it's like, oh, everybody saw. It's like, let's get on that bandwagon, and let's just, you know, create these camps and come out with a camp for everything and charge a fortune, and people will pay. I'm shocked.
They
really
will.
Shocked. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby, but your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So barring the fact that we're not into camps or dog and cat and pet accessories, the next best thing is probably either life settlements or annuities. Real estate is...
That's right.
That's not good.
No, it's not. You know, I've been seeing this week all these foreclosures on real estate. And the one I had in mind is the biggest office building in Fort Worth, Texas. They paid $137 million 3 years ago. And it's now been foreclosed on. They couldn't even fill the building up. a 40-story building, and I would have been a little leery of it in Fort Worth. I wouldn't think there's that many lawyers and oil companies that need office building. And apparently I'm right, because it didn't work out. In 3 years, it just took 3 years for them to foreclose on a $137 million loan.
Wow.
So I think it's better to be, you know, in either annuities or life settlements. I would not be investing in real estate or something with people that have to pay you.
Yeah.
You know, because they just walk it. If they can't pay the lease on an office building, they just walk out and leave it.
Yeah.
And then you've got the mortgage, you've got the insurance on the building and the taxes, and then the old boy couldn't pay.
Wow.
I would hate to have taken out, spent $137 million buying a building and then not be able to pay for it.
Wow. That surprises me in Fort Worth. I mean, you expect it in like San Francisco or New York or something like that, but in Fort Worth, wow.
That's right. And Fort Worth is old money. They're conservative. They're careful. But I don't know who this was. He wasn't very careful. so that's why a life settlement is for me. I mean, a life settlement is, you know, we don't borrow money on it. We don't owe money on it. It's solid. And when you make an investment in it, we're not worried about somebody with a mortgage. We're not worried about a bank loan on it. You know, it's a lot, I think it's a lot safer and less risk than anything I know. I wouldn't have thought that. But as I see all these loans going forward and all of them defaulting on them, on real estate and on all these other things, the people that are in mutual funds, some of them can't get their money back. And there's some REITs that are folding. And I'm going, holy cow, you know, we're in the right place to be at a time like this. Whether we're in a recession or not, we're on safety. We're on safety. We're doing life insurance policies. We're buying them on people that are sick. I think it's the safest investment in the world. I don't think anybody could prove to me anything safer than a life settlement.
Well, yeah. I mean, after doing this for as long as you have, you know, you've seen a lot of different market conditions, and it doesn't seem like whatever happens, a life settlement is kind of, it's in its own unique niche where you're not, like you say, you're not relying on, you know, anybody to pay back a loan, or you're not, I mean, these life insurance companies, they're not lending out money. Nothing is reliant on anything else. It's the fact that they've got all these resources on hand, and they can pay them back at any time. It's just there. It's not like a bank where you've got to, you know, call a loan and then you've got to, you know, get the money out of this and you got to borrow it from over there and, you know, put all these pieces together. It's like a life settlement, literally a pile of cash is sitting in a building someplace. And so,
well, it's like this. When you're involved in real estate, you've got to pay insurance, you've got to pay the mortgage, and then you've got to pay the taxes. Real estate taxes on all these things are huge. You know, taxes right now in Texas are exorbitant. Mm. Property taxes are exorbitant. Everybody I know is appealing their property taxes so high.
Yeah.
So if you're in a life settlement, it's a lot different than being in real estate with taxes and insurance and sometimes loans on it. I think it's a lot safer investment than almost anything I can think of, because I've been watching everything lately, and the real estate market is not anything I'd want to be in.
Mm-mm.
You know, I wouldn't want the exposure of having a loan on anything. The safest thing for you to do is something that has no loan on it. You're not paying a note. You don't have any real estate taxes on it. So that makes it a lot safer investment. And remember, when you buy a life insurance policy on somebody that has cancer, the life insurance companies have got more money than anybody. They don't make loans. They don't owe taxes on real estate. They don't have all this exposure that would expose us. So I think it's one of the safest investments. I'm convinced of it. You know, we've had millions and millions of policies that have come due. We've returned over $200 million back to the clients.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot. Oh, geez.
And we've still got a lot to go. We're under 100 million invested right now. We were a little over 100 million. We're down a little under 100 million because we've had five maturities. So it's brought it back down under 100 million. Clients have got about $19 million in cash with us right now. Mm. So that's a lot of cash.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of people are on the sidelines. A lot of people are not investing right now. And I think now is really the time to invest.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it, we're getting policies cheaper right now than we have in a long time. Like when we did the $6 million, we really did a good job on it. I think people are going to make a lot of money. It's almost 37%. We're bidding on one now that has a cash value of $900,000.
Really?
Can you imagine? Yeah. We're bidding on a policy. It's got $900,000 in cash, just in dividends sitting there.
Wow. Now that's
cool. That brings our cost down to just almost nothing. So we're bidding on three good policies this week.
Wow.
And if we get those, people are going to make some serious money.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh, wow. I don't remember you talking really much about policies with cash values in them before. That's
We don't usually get one that's got a huge cash value. We were reading this, and then we came across it, and it said, you know, it's $900,000 in cash in it.
Wow.
So your exposure on that one is nothing. You have no exposure. You've got enough cash in it to pay anything that came up. So that makes it a really solid policy.
You know, that it makes my brain go in a whole other place because as you're saying all this, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, comparison between life settlements and, you know, these other things you're talking about, like, you know, real estate and, you know, things like that. It seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but is it true that a life settlement is not based on market conditions? You've got like loan repayments that are not a factor at all. It's not a thing. It's not reliant on like the overhead costs. It's like it seems like there's virtually almost no overhead in a life settlement. And all these other investments, you know, you got property and taxes and all these other things you were talking about. Life settlement, none of those conditions even exist. Am I looking at it the right way?
That's right. And so we don't have to factor all that in. It's not like some things, some companies says we've got to allow so much for taxes. The real estate taxes are this much. We've got a bank loan, they'll say. We've got the interest on that. They've got all these factors that affect what it's going to make. And ours, nothing affects what you're going to make. Once we put you in the policy, it's a set deal. You're going to make whatever it was. If it's 27%, you'll get it. If it comes in early, if it comes in late, or if it's on time, you're going to get that money. It's not like real estate. It's not like any other investment that I know, because you don't have all these other factors that will affect what you make. A lot of things they say, okay, this is what we think you'll make depending on what the market does. So we don't have to worry about the market. We're not involved in the market. We don't have one dime in the market. We're not a public company. We don't have any mutual fund deals. We don't have anything like that. And a lot of these people that rely on the stock market, they'll say, well, you know, are they going to pay us a dividend? Well, if it goes down, you not only don't get a dividend, you don't get all your money back.
Yeah.
So market conditions can affect everything you've got.
Wow.
If you're in real estate right now, market condition can affect that.
Yeah. It's almost like there's no guessing involved with the profit that you're going to make with a life settlement. It's right there. And that's it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And people that have stores, they have inventory, they have turnover, they've got so many problems. Look at the Express. They just closed down all their stores. Red Lobster, they're closing 50 stores.
Jeez.
All these people, I wouldn't be in the restaurant business if you gave me one.
Mm-mm.
I mean, not only do they have to pay people, they have the problem with the help. And now they've got problems with wages. People don't want to eat there, so they just don't come and eat with you. So, you know, you're losing money. How long can they go on losing money and stay in business?
Yeah.
You know? There's too many things that happen, you know, and we don't have all that. We don't have the labor problem. We don't have the tax problem these people have. We don't have merchandise. That's your biggest problem out there.
Yeah.
They have merchandise. I mean, I would not have any merchandise on anything under the planet.
Wow.
Because let's say you had a dress shop. If they don't like those dresses, they're not going to buy from you. They'll go buy from somebody else. Your dress is set there. Then you have to discount them. And then you discount them again. And finally, you don't have any money.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I've never really thought about the overhead thing. You know, with all these other things, there's so much overhead. And with a life settlement, there's none. And so when you take out all of those factors, you're really just kind of left with a very simple, straightforward, conservative type of investment. And that's it's the kind of thing that survives any kind of, you know, market condition anywhere. I've never really thought about it like that before.
That's right, because we don't have all the market conditions. It's a life insurance policy is simple. They don't have any loans on them. They don't have any taxes on them. It's just straight. We buy the policy. When the person that has cancer passes away, we pay the people. It goes right back into their account. If it's an IRA account, they're not going to pay taxes on it for years to come because it's going to accumulate. Until you're 73, you don't have to take any money out. So your money grows faster if it's tax deferred. There ain't any doubt about it.
Wow. So this is like a win on all levels.
There's so many good things to think about.
Yeah. And there's no broker. You don't have like in the stock market, you've got brokers that can do, you know, anything. And every so often you've got some story about how some brokers, you know, bamboozled people and they had to scam and whatever. You don't have any of that with a life settlement. It doesn't even exist.
And you don't have any broker fees.
Yeah.
You know, when you do this, you don't say, okay, I've made this much, but we got to give the broker 3%. That doesn't happen with this. We've taken all the expense out that can possibly be taken out of an investment.
Yeah.
You know, you just simply go into the policy. You know what you're going to make. If it's 24, 30, you know, 35%, whatever. And you get paid, it goes into your account.
Boy.
So that's as solid as you can get. When you're dealing with the bank, Nevada Trust, they handle your money once it gets there. That's another safety feature we've talked about for a long time. When we set this up years ago, we set it up where the bank handles the money. And all these investments that you hear so much about, if they'd had a bank handling it, they'd still have their money today.
Yeah, yeah. Without that trustee adds that layer of security. That people, you know, can be confident in.
That's right, because you've got the bank that says, okay, here's your account. It's with us. They direct the money after we tell them, okay, they want to put this much in this investment. It goes over. The bank handles the escrow. They pay the people for the policy. Then when it comes due, the check comes to the bank, not to us. And then it goes from the bank right in their accounts. That's as safe as I know how to do it.
Yeah. You know, when it's like you almost sit here and think, and when you start talking about these things and describe them, I think, okay, what would the opposite look like? You know, just to kind of compare and contrast in my own brain, nobody's writing, you know, say you a check personally, whereas like in, you know, in other situations, you know, you could, you know, in theory, you know, take the check and go buy Maseratis and yachts and boats. But with the trustee, it goes right to the bank. It cuts out any kind of, I mean, it's really straightforward. It is really buttoned up, highly regulated. It's very safe, very secure. It's all tight, and it's the guidelines alone just are, they provide a level of security that you're just not going to find in other investments.
That's right. And when I read where these CEO of one of these big, huge companies has just stole $10 million or $25 million, I always go, what the heck? How did they get to the money?
Yeah.
Well, it's simple. There's no safeguards.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have safeguards, and these people that work for you like that, if they take 10, 20 million, 100 million, and you don't find out for 3 years, what are the stockholders going to say?
Yeah.
You know, if we trusted you, and it's all gone, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So they've stolen your money. This keeps everybody honest. We've always had a trustee. We've never done any business without a trustee. Nevada Trust has represented us all these years, and we love the way it works. We love it because when somebody calls for your money, they verify it. If you want to take money out of your account, they verify it.
Like they actually pick up the phone and call.
Yes. So we've got every kind of safety measure to protect your money.
Wow.
And, you know, they've been in business a long time. They're paying interest on your account of over 4% when it just lays there. You're getting paid over 4% when it's in a checking account. How many banks are giving you that in a checking account?
Yeah, exactly. And then the other thing, you know, you talk about, you know, that they've been in business for a long time. You've been doing this. I mean, longevity matters, and you have a lot of clients that have been with you for a number of years, and a lot of them have referred other people, which speaks a lot.
They do. They refer people to us every day. We appreciate it. And, you know, I did not know that some of my clients have been with me so long, they're getting up in years. I didn't know it. A client called this week. He has just turned 86.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
That's how long he's been with us. I went back and looked. He came to us in his early 70s when he retired.
Wow.
And now he's 86 years old.
Cool. Very cool.
I mean, longevity. We've got a lot of people been with us a long, long time.
Yeah.
They've invested a long time with us.
Yeah. And the ones that have been doing the best, I guess, growing their portfolio at the highest rate, they're the ones that are the most diversified, the ones that are, like, I guess, all in and highly invested in a number of, you know, policies at any given moment. They're the ones that are thriving the most just because, you know, that money keeps turning over and they're making more and they're reinvesting and policies are coming due and they're getting paid and then investing in other policies. And those are the ones that are thriving the most, right?
That's right. And when you stay with it and you go do it over and over again, it works. If you sit on the sidelines, you're just in cash. Cash does not grow. I wonder how many people know that. When you're sitting just on cash, it does not grow. So if you really want it to grow, let's say you're getting up in age. You don't want to do any more life settlements. You can do some annuities. Annuities are very safe. They're going to pay you come rain or high water.
Hmm. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, because the annuities, they, how do you say it? They mirror the stock market, but they're not in the stock market.
They're not ever in the stock market. They just go right along beside it. And I told someone wrong the other day on what they'd made. I forgot that we did a 1-year strategy and some 2-year strategies. When you do a 2-year strategy, you don't get the results till that second year. And I forgot about that. I don't know how I could have forgot, because usually we do just 1-year strategies. But I had a chance to do some 2-year strategies, which I did. So when we got their statement, it didn't show all the money they've made.
Mm.
And so we won't know till the end of the second year what they've really made total. So I'm looking forward to that, to get that second year strategy and find out what they made.
Cool. Is there an advantage to...
Sometimes there is, because if the stock market had a bad year, you've got that second year to rely on, to fall back on.
Okay. All right.
So sometimes, we're going to see how it works, but sometimes doing a 2-year strategy might make more money. We're going to see how it works out.
Okay.
And, of course, on the annuities right now, the bonuses are good. You can get up to about 20% in a bonus.
Jeez.
Now, there's a little fee on part of that, but you can get paid to 20% for 3 years, or you can do the 12%, and every dime that you put in for 3 years, you get that extra 12 plus your other money, whatever it makes. So there's 2 or 3 ways to do it. But the 20%, there is a small fee on that, on part of it, but you can get 20% the first year. Doing it the other way. But these are companies that have been in business 100 years. How many companies have been in business 100 years?
Not many anymore.
Yeah. And they're worth billions and billions of dollars.
Jeez.
So if somebody wants something just safety, not have to look at it day or night, just to get their money every year, their interest, an annuity's answer.
Yeah.
Especially if you're older. If you're older, you should be in annuities.
And with those bonuses like you were talking about, it's great because people make money just on the bonuses alone on top of whatever the actual annuity makes.
That's right. In addition to what it's going to make for the year. So you've got your bonus plus whatever it's going to make. And then you can get that bonus every year for 3 years, every dime you put in every year. So if you're taking money out of something else and funding this every year, it's going to continue to make money. And then if it's an IRA, you're not paying taxes on it. Remember, on annuity, you don't pay anything till you take it out. So all your money is growing tax deferred. And it's compound interest. There's so many great things for people with annuities.
And just to kind of bring it back into focus a little bit, the annuity, if the stock market goes up, the annuity goes up. If the stock market goes down, the annuity holds steady. The bottom does not fall out. There's that safety net. If that's the case, you're still making money on the bonuses. So it's
that's right.
It's a win-win.
And that's what I love. If the market goes up, we mirror it, and you get that ups tick. If the market goes down, it just holds. It holds steady, never goes down. How many investments can you say? It's not going to go down. It'll hold steady. If the market goes up, we mirror it, and it goes up.
Yeah, I can't think of any.
And you can take interest out every year after the first year, after the first 12 months. And also, you can get riders on it. Let's say you want a rider for long-term care. You just add that rider on there. And it also has got in there, if you had to take all your money out for nursing home, you can do it. A lot of things in annuities you can't get in anything else. If you've got a CD, it's not going to give you all these extras.
Yeah. And the great thing with the experience that you've got between annuities and life settlements, you've been doing this for so long. You've seen almost every market condition that there is. You've seen some weird things happen. You know, when you've been through, you know, real estate ups and downs and restaurant ups and downs, the COVID thing, recessions, all these conditions, you've already been through them and you've seen firsthand that none of them affect either one. So anybody that's looking for something, especially with the uncertainty that may be in front of us over the next several months, if people are, you know, nervous about that, they're looking for something a little bit more conservative that is proven to outlast any kind of condition, either way is a good conservative way to go.
That's right. Both of them are as conservative as you can get. We don't have the risk factor that you have with every other investment that I can think of. You know, we don't have the fees. You know, where there's not a fee charged to us for doing this. There's not an interest fee. There's just, you know, there's no real estate fees. I mean, we've taken all that out. And it's just a simple life settlement. Whatever you make, you get when the person passes away. And the different kinds of cancer policies, you know, we've specialized in cancer policies for years. Other people do a different thing. But ours, they must have stage 4 cancer for us to do it. If they've got stage 4 cancer, we're looking at it. We're looking at premiums. We're looking to see, you know, if it's a whole life, if it's a term policy. We look at all this before it ever gets to the client. And then once we make up our mind it's a good policy and we've got it tied down, then we go to the client and say, okay, would you like to invest $50,000, $100,000, you know, it's this kind of cancer. If it's breast cancer, we look at all of them. You know, we've done really well on breast cancer. Right now, the ones we're looking at is liver cancer. And liver cancer, you know, this one guy has got a form of liver cancer that is deadly. And I've read up on this kind of liver cancer. It's like a bile duct liver cancer. And there's no cure for it.
Oh, geez.
So, you know, that's the kind of cancers we're looking for. We'd love to have a pancreatic cancer. We haven't had one in a long time because they're so hard to get. But when we have a pancreatic cancer, I could sell it in probably 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows it's deadly. It's quick. I don't think we've ever had a pancreatic cancer go over 12 months. They may say 2 years, but we know that isn't going to happen.
Yeah. You've got a lot of data to back a lot of this up. So you've
been
doing
this. That's right, because we've been doing it a long, long time.
Yeah.
When we first started, we made a lot of mistakes, but we've corrected most of those. The only things you can't correct is when they're going to die.
Yeah.
You know, you can't predetermine that. We still have 3 or 4 old policies, but for the most part, everything is going right. Everything's on time now. Now when we don't have to wait to find out when they died, this new company is on it. We know it within 2 to 3 days of when they die. I mean, they're excellent. They're the best. So we've improved so many things. Lately, all these people, the policies were early. They didn't even go a year. Mm. So we were right on, spot on those.
Yeah.
So if a person really wants to make money conservatively, to sleep at night, not have to get up and check the stock market, this is the place to be.
Yeah, that is a big deal. I know a lot of your new investors that come over that are used to being up, you know, in the middle of the night, check their portfolio, see if they have anything left. When they come over and they start doing something like this, they can kind of like their nerves are a lot calmer and they can kind of relax. They can live their life. And then when the policy matures, they get paid. They don't have to worry about it. Essentially set it and forget it, which goes a long way on top of, you know, the profits that they make as well. So.
A client sent me a little note this week.
Really?
And told me that he was so thankful he'd gotten out of the stock market with me and got into life settlements.
Sure. Not
so
only for
I appreciated
profits,
that.
But nerves as well. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, his nerves as well as the profit. And then certainty that he was going through and he was fixing to retire. So he couldn't take it anymore. He couldn't take the ups and downs. He had to have something solid for him and his wife. And he said, this is the best thing he ever did.
Yeah, that's cool. You get a lot of feedback like that. So it's good to pass that along. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
The 4-6 Ranch.
Ooh.
I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Nope.
It's the 10th biggest ranch in Texas.
Really?
Yes. It's a famous ranch. And you won't believe, the series Yellowstone?
Oh, yeah.
This is where it was filmed, on the 4-6 Ranch.
Really? Oh, wow.
Everybody thinks it was filmed in Montana, folks.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you, it was filmed right here in Texas.
Joe
Leathers is the one that runs the 4-6. It's a beautiful story. Joe Leathers is the leading man at the ranch. He became the centerpiece for the Yellowstone TV series. He's managed the ranch since 2008. Even though the show and his characters are make-believe, he's not. He's for real.
He's a real dude.
He is the real rancher, the real cowboy. And, you know, Yellowstone was created and written by Taylor Sheridan. And, of course, it's a fictional Montana ranch. But the 4-6 is real. Let me tell you how many acres it is. It's 250,000 acres.
Oh, wow.
That's how big it is. The main ranch is east of Lubbock. It's got 142,000 acres.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
The Dixon Ranch is in Carson and Hutchinson counties. It is 114,000 acres.
Jeez.
The third part of the ranch, the Prisco Creek Ranch, is on 9,428 acres in Sherman County.
Wow.
And there was a lot of things to film on the ranch when they came out there. There was beautiful horses. They have between 700 and 800 horses.
Do they really?
Yes.
That's impressive.
They have all kinds of wildlife. They've got quail, deer, sheep, turkey, hogs, coyotes, bobcats, ducks, geese, songbirds, a lot of rattlesnakes, and even some antelope.
Cool.
And then once a year, butterflies are there for 2 or 3 days around Halloween.
Really?
Yes. Now, the Barnett Ranch has been in the same family for 150 years.
Wow.
That's how famous it is.
Boy, that's...
And in the 1870s, Samuel Burnett, he was buying cattle, he was buying horses, and the first cattle he bought had that legendary brand on it. Hmm. Now, a lot of people thought that he won that in a poker hand, the 666, and thought that for a year, but he said that's not true. That the original cattle he bought had the 4-6s on it. And Mr. Burnett left the ranch to his only surviving grandchild, who was Ann Valiant Burnett Hall, which was later called Tandy. He left in trust for her little girl. And when Miss Ann died, her daughter inherited this thing. And in 1980, Ann Wilford Marion inherited her grandfather and her great-grandfather's estate. So she inherited this quarter of a million acre ranch in 1980.
Holy cow. Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, the ranch is still run by 17 to 18 cowboys. They all have several quarter horses. They don't use helicopters. It's everything's done the old-fashioned way with real cowboys.
So it's authentic.
It is so authentic you wouldn't believe.
Wow.
And for years, they had longhorns, shorthorns, Herefords. And about 25 years ago, they changed it all to Black Angus. Hmm. And, you know, Black Angus, I think, for meat, it would be my choice on everything.
Oh, yeah.
And they still do everything on horseback. They still have 16 to 18 cowboys working all the time. And the guy has a horse called Vaquero, and he said it's his favorite horse. It's a sorrel gelding, has a big motor. He's tough, he's athletic, and he's got a lot of cow sense. He said it's an exceptional horse. It's the horse he rides every day. And then Miss Ann, she co-founded the American Quarter Horse Association in 1940. So she's the one that got it started about all the horses. Now, they have three veterinarians on this big ranch. Can you imagine?
Really?
It takes three vets to keep it going.
On location, on staff.
On location. They've got all the facilities. They can operate. They have a big situation. Now, during the drought in 2010, the ranch went to great lengths to keep its herd, not have to sell them. There was no water between Guthrie and Nebraska, they said. So they took all these cattle to 9 ranches in 5 states.
Really?
And kept them up there till the drought was over.
And they brought them back.
And, yeah, and then they brought them back. Now, Doc Blodgett is the ranch resident veterinarian, and he's the horse division manager. So they established a first-class quarter horse breeding program under her. So she brought him out there to do that. And today, Nathan Kennedy is in charge of 700 to 800 quarter horses.
Wow. Jeez.
And Kennedy said he came out there to the ranch in 2006. He was just a college kid. And he returned the next summer, and it convinced him to become a veterinarian. He said he thought, if I could become a veterinarian on a large ranch, he said it'd be like being the dream job. So when he got his graduation, became a full-fledged veterinarian, he came out in 2011. And then in 22, Blodgett died, and he took over. So he runs the whole operation for the vets out there. They can operate. They can do anything that you could do in a big city.
So he's had his dream job for almost 20 years.
Yes, he has.
Wow.
So when they decided, you know, to add all this Texas stuff to Yellowstone, they secured her permission to film Miss Marion out there at the ranch. And he said, you know, the ranch is big enough. It didn't interfere with us. He said they brought all their TV stations out here, all this stuff. But he said, you know, they get it done, and then they're gone.
Wow. The place is so huge, they probably never even ran into them.
I don't think they even saw him. He said there was hundreds of cast and crew, but it just didn't interfere with the ranch work, he said.
Wow. So they went about their normal business while they were filming this whole thing on the side. Wow.
Yeah, it was just a little sideline for them. And when they started filming this in 20, it didn't air till 21, and Miss Marion didn't live to see her beloved ranch on TV.
Oh.
Because she died in 2020 at the age of 81.
Wow.
But it's been in continuous hands of the Burnett family, as I said, 150 years. And in her will, she said, I want it all sold. She didn't want anybody to try to keep it. And she had no children. It was just her. So a man named Sheridan from Fort Worth put together a group of investors. And they became the majority owner in 22. He has a ranch down the road in Weatherford and another in Wyoming. And he said, we have a love affair with the land of West Texas.
Hmm.
And he said, it takes a lot of discipline to build a ranch and to keep it. And he said, they have no intention of ever letting it fall into a developer's hand or anyone else's. They're going to preserve it and keep it just like it is.
Good. That's how it should be.
And but can you imagine, this ranch was on TV and never even bothered them. They just kept on going. But to take care of 700 to 800 horses, it takes 3 vets. And he said if another rancher's horse or cattle gets in trouble, they'll take care of it for him. And they'll operate on somebody else's horse if they need to.
Wow.
And give them a hand.
That's cool. That's nice. That's how it. If more people were like that, the world would be a better place.
It'd be such a great place. But these old cowhands, you know, they love what they do. They've been riding horses all their life, and they just love being out in the open air and taking care of the cattle and the horses. It's a dream job.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, might not be for everybody, but can you imagine just riding your horse all day and being out there, nobody to tell you what to do, really.
Yeah, the fresh air and just kind of like, you know, being free. And gosh, I mean, I just, it takes me off into, you know, fantasy land someplace. How cool.
And they've got every kind of animal, wild animals out there. It's just, it's a heck of a deal.
Yeah. And 150 years, what is that? Like 6 generations? How many? I don't
five know. Generations. Five. Yeah, it's 5 generations from 1800s.
Wow.
Can you imagine? Nobody else has ever owned it. It's always been in the family. And they were a small family. That's what's so amazing. You had Miss Ann, and then just her daughter.
Yeah. And throughout
and her grandfather and great-grandfather left it to her in trust for her child.
Wow. And they've never went all techno. They didn't, you know, no helicopters.
No,
it's all authentic.
They don't have the helicopters like our bills, the radios. It's just old-fashioned horse riding and roundup time. But they started in 1870.
Wow.
When Samuel Burnett started buying all this land. And look what he amassed. 250,000 acres.
Amazing. I mean, I'm just...
You couldn't do it nowadays.
No, you couldn't do that now, for sure. Wow.
And I don't know how they knew these people to get the permission to come out to the ranch and to do all this filming of Yellowstone. And, you know, she wasn't real young, and she didn't get to see it, you know, on TV, which she would have got to see if she'd lived just a little bit longer.
Yeah. That'd have been cool. She didn't get to see them make it, though. She was there for the filming, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
If she
that was pretty cool. But then she passed away before it was on television.
Wow.
Which is a shame. It would have been. She'd probably really enjoyed seeing the ranch on TV and her horses. You know, all the men that worked for her, and them riding their horses.
Yeah.
And the gentleman that runs it. He's not young, let me tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
he's been there all of his life, and then he took over in 2008, and he's got to be probably 70.
Wow. It kind of, now that we know all this, it kind of makes me want to go back and binge watch with a whole new perspective. It's, cool.
Yeah, I think it would, because you know now it's really in Texas.
Yeah, yeah, that gives it a whole other spin. Neat. Wow.
And Dr. Blodgett was, you know, the vet all those years. Then when he retired, this young boy that we talked about, you know, came out there as an assistant, and now he runs the whole thing. That's how interesting it was that he started out as an assistant. Now he's the head veterinarian out there.
Yeah. I mean, why would you ever go anywhere else? I mean, I can see that is the dream job right there. Yeah, there's be no reason to go anywhere. That is so cool. I mean, all just the fact that it's been in the family and it's so authentic and nothing has changed. It's they've kept true to, the real authenticness of the whole thing. That's just
they're not rounding up the cattle with pickups and helicopters. You know, everything's just the old fashioned way.
Yeah,
they have 17 to 18 horse riders out there every day.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how long it takes?
I know it.
Go over everything.
Jeez, that would. But boy, it's there are much worse places to be all day. So I would imagine it's enjoyable on every level.
I would think it'd be fantastic.
Yeah, it would. How cool! This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is.
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Wow. To be out in open air like that and just so in touch with nature as it's intended to be, I'm off in la-la land right now, literally.
Can you imagine how long it'd be before you'd even see anybody?
Oh, I know.
You'd be out there a long time. You wouldn't even see a soul.
I know it. Wow. How cool. That's awesome.
It'd be a lot different than being on the highways and the freeways and the yelling and everything goes on, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you wouldn't hear a horn honk for nothing.
No crazy drivers. Wow.
I know it. Oh, my gosh. I'm drifting off into dreamland now. Oh, wow. Okay, so real quick before we wrap up, with life settlements, there are two major, well, now I don't want to say major, but two risks. What's the biggest one?
The biggest risk is it could go over and you would have to pay premiums. So we always tell you up front what the premiums are so you know what the risk is. And usually it's like less than 2%. So it's not much risk at all. But you know up front, we escrow an extra, not only do we escrow an extra year on everything we do. We forget to say that sometimes. We forget to tell people about that. And then the other risk is, remember, it's not liquid till it matures. And when it matures, it's liquid and you can spend it or put it back in your account.
Okay. And life settlements do require one to be accredited in order to do the
you
investment?
You must be accredited in anywhere that I know of. And to be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million. And that's without your home. They do not ever count a person's home in Texas.
Okay. Not the same guidelines for annuities, though. There are still some.
No, annuities don't have those guidelines. Annuities, you just have to have you can't put everything you've got in annuity. You've got to have other money at home. They want to be sure you've got emergency money, money to live on without your annuities.
Okay. All right, so Memorial Day is not until next weekend, so this coming week it is all business as usual, Monday through
That's
Friday.
Right.
Cool. And so you have appointments, availability to talk to people, yes?
Yes, we will be talking to people, taking money, putting money, investing money.
Nice. That's what it's all about. All right, Fay, so for one last time, for people to call, get more information, get started, do whatever they need to do, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.